Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. Proverbs 18:10. Proverbs 1:33. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear or harm. Proverbs 1:33. Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That's a question mark. Hebrews 13:6. Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34:1. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 10. James chapter 4, verse 10. A magnificent verse of Scripture. It seems like every word in this verse is very, very powerful and important. So we're trying to study it just by looking at individual words today in James chapter 4, verse 10. You see it on the back of your bulletin. You see it on the screen if you can see where you're from where you're sitting. In case you cannot see it properly there, if you'll look on the back of your bulletin, you will be able to see James 4, 10. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading. Father, we're thankful for your grace and blessings and your word. We're here today because of your grace. We've been blessed tremendously. All of us today want to express our thanks to you for caring for us. And so we pray that you will help us to realize that every day we live is a gift from your grace. And we see that we have every day of our lives the magnificent expressions of your love and care for us. And we thank you for it. We thank you for each person here this morning. We know that you know us individually. You know our hearts. And we pray that you will help us to open our hearts and minds to your wonderful word. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Always during the break, we receive a translation from the German Bible and the scripture James 4:10, which you see on the screen and on the back of your bulletin. Be humbled, be ye humbled before the Lord. He will exalt you. And from the German translation, it's an emphasis upon plural, humble you all, or you all selves before the Lord, and he will lift you all up. So I take it that this particular German translator is a Texan. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. We've already emphasized over and over again that in this passage of Scripture, there are 10 verbs in the imperative mood. They're aorist tense verbs. Aorist tense verbs mean at a point of time. The imperative verb, of course, is a verb of command. I'm going to give you these again in case you do not have them. First of all, in verse 7, submit is number 1, therefore to God. Number 2, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Number 3, in verse 8, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. 4, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Number 5, purify your hearts, you double-minded. In verse 9, be miserable, number 6. Mourn, number 7. Weep, number 8. Let your laughter be turned, that's number 9, into mourning. Your joy to gloom. And then in our verse for today, humble yourselves, that's number 10, in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. So we have 10 verbs. We have submit and resist in verse 7. We have draw, cleanse, purify in verse 8. In verse 9, we have 4, be miserable, mourn, weep, turn to mourning. And then in verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. We've already emphasized this, and I'm not going to spend any more time here other than to just tell you that there's an emphasis here upon humility in the first word that is used. It is the word tapaino, which is T-A-P-E-I-N-O-O. It means to submit to God's humbling process. It means to be devoid of haughtiness. It means a modest opinion of self. It means unassuming manner in life. It means devoid of haughtiness. All of those words are synonyms that would describe the meaning of this first word, be ye humbled. I need to remind you again that the verse is not only a verb in the aorist tense, imperative mood, but it is a passive voice. The passive voice simply emphasizes the fact that we're the recipient of humility. In other words, there's no way that you and I, within ourselves, within our own abilities, within our own strength, with all the problems that we have in life as we live from day to day, there's no way for us within our own strength to have humility. We have to be the recipient of humility, and that's the reason why this is a passive voice. The Bible defines humility, as I've already said, the opposite of pride. Number 2, the Bible tells us that humility honors others more than ourselves. Number 3, if you're glancing back at your notes, humility is one of the traits that God wants to see in His people. Number 4, humility can spare a person from God's wrath. And number 5, true humility focuses upon God, not upon impressing other people with self-imposed rules to make others believe that we're humble. And so we have an emphasis in the Bible on that first word. We're not going to go back now to emphasize anything that we've done in the first session, other than what I've just done. Now we move along in our scripture to the second major Greek word that you see on the top line in the translation. As you can see that the first word was translated by 3 words, be ye humbled. The next word is enopion, E-N-O-P-I-O-N. I would encourage you to write that word down and try to remember it. It's a beautiful word, and once you hear what we are going to talk about, I believe you'll agree with me that this is a magnificent word indeed. Enopion is translated here before. The Lord's presence. I'm sure that you realize that all of us are very small compared to the greatness of the Lord. Have you ever thought about one drop of water compared to all of the many gallons and gallons of water in the mighty oceans? Can you just imagine one little drop of water? Or can you imagine one little clod of dirt upside the highest mountain in the world? One little clod of dirt. And yet, what is so great is that our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, is aware of our individual presence. He knows us individually. He knows so much about us that He even knows the number of hair we have, if we have any, on our head. He is fully aware of us. He knows all about us. And I believe that the key to developing humility, what I would classify as biblical humility, is actually found in one word, and that's the word that we find here in James 4:10, in the presence of the Lord. Only individuals with hardened hearts could be proud in the presence of the Lord. Did you hear what I just said? Only people with a hardened heart could be proud in the presence of the Lord. I want you to think with me about that for a little bit. The presence of the Lord. I wonder how you would feel if you were allowed to be in the presence, for instance, of some great individual. Let's just, since I used the illustration in the first service of Billy Graham, let's just say that you and I had an opportunity to be in his presence. Now, we realize that he's a man. We realize that God used him over the years, and he's preached to thousands of people. Many people have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I don't know how you'd feel, but I think that I would have a little bit different feeling if I happened to be in his presence. But compare that with being in the presence of our Lord. Can you just imagine that? Here we are, just a little drop of water in a mighty ocean. Oh, a little clod of dirt upside the highest mountain or mountains of the world. I believe that the key to developing humility is this phrase that's used in our scripture, in the presence of the Lord. I've thought about this a lot, and I've decided that what I want to do for you is to show you some things that I found in the Word of God about individuals and their attitude toward the presence of the Lord. The first one I would like for you to write is holy angels. Holy angels in the presence of the Lord. Holy angels in His presence. It would be described in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2, where it says, the holy angels in His presence covered their faces. Can you just imagine that? We're talking about angels. We're not talking about fallen angels. We're talking about holy angels in the presence of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2, it says that in the presence of the Lord, they covered their faces. When Isaiah had his vision of the Lord, the scripture reveals that he saw himself as undone. He saw himself as personally shattered. He immediately became aware of his own sinfulness. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. What I'm trying to do is to tell you that you ought to write this down. Holy angels. Isaiah 6, 2. The prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 6, verse 5. When God portrayed the wonders of creation before the Old Testament character Job, the scripture says he had no further argument against God. Instead, he said in Job chapter 42, verse 6, I repent in dust and ashes. I repent in dust and ashes. But in that scripture, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, it says something else. The first thing he says before I repent in dust and ashes, he says, I retract. I retract. I take back everything I've said. It wasn't right. Have you ever felt that way about yourself? Have you ever tried to tell God how good you are and how wonderful you are? And how much you really love Him. Oh, you're so proud of your love for Him. Perhaps when you get into His presence, really, you would say with Job, I retract. I repent in dust and ashes. We've talked about holy angels. We've talked about Isaiah. We've talked about Job. The Apostle John, who had formerly rested his head on Jesus' chest, saw him in his glory on the Isle of Patmos. And the scripture says, when he saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, he fell at his feet as a dead man in the presence of the Lord. It all comes from this one beautiful word, enopion. What I'm trying to do is to spell out something for you today that I believe will change your life if you really begin to understand the meaning of this Greek word, enopion, in the presence of the Lord. When you go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, John, that great apostle out there on the Isle of Patmos, the one who had rested his head, as I just said, on the chest of Jesus, saw our Lord in His glory out there on that island of Patmos, and he fell at His feet as a dead man in the presence of the Lord. When I look at this verse of Scripture, it says, humble yourselves. Let the Lord do it. You cannot do it for yourself. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. And if you'll do that, on Wednesday night we'll talk about the rest of it. He will exalt you. Why is this so? Consider the many times we see humility taking place in God's Word. It seems that there's a pattern of God's people recognizing the Lord's presence or something about the attributes of the Lord. And then we see always the response of these individuals. Isaiah, Joshua, David, Moses, Peter, John. On and on we could go, just naming the individuals. God's people recognizing the Lord's presence. Recognizing the attributes. Have we recognized really the attributes of God? Oh, we name them over and over around here. We say God is sovereign and righteous and justice and love, eternal life, and omnipotent and immutability and veracity and on down the line. Oh, we can say all of those. We can give all 10 of them perhaps. But really, do we understand how great God is and who the Lord Jesus Christ is and who we are? And the fact that the Scripture is saying that we can come into His presence. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need in the presence of the Lord. When I think in terms of Isaiah, some 700 years, 600 years before Jesus Christ came on the scene in the flesh, the Spirit of God talking through Him, giving the prophecy of the virgin conception and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. What do you think went on in the mind of Isaiah years and years before Jesus Christ came as the God-man on the earth? Isaiah knew, I believe, what it meant to be in the presence of the Lord. Joshua, David, Moses, Peter, John. When I look at these individuals, I write myself a little note. One, they caught a glimpse of God that they had never had before. Somehow I feel that I have a responsibility, first to myself and then to you. Standing here before you, I have a responsibility of helping you see and understand and comprehend and have a greater glimpse of God than you've ever had before. A greater glimpse of the person of Jesus Christ than you've ever had before. When you look at Isaiah, Joshua, David, Moses, Peter, John, they caught a glimpse of God as they had never had before. They saw and experienced something of the divine character before them. That's what I believe we need to have. We need to have a new awareness of our Lord and His presence. And that's found in this one word, enopion, in the presence of the Lord. Do you see how beautiful this is? But you know what? What I'm seeing here is, when I look at Joshua and Isaiah and David and Moses and Peter and John, not only did they get a new glimpse of what God really was, they had never seen this like this before. But the second thing I believe they saw was they saw themselves as they had never seen themselves before. Oh my. When you and I get a real good glimpse of the Lord and we begin to understand who He is and what He's done and what He's doing and have a better relationship to Him, we're going to be able to see our own weakness, our own unworthiness. We're going to be able to see our own helplessness. I believe it's the opposite of that pastor that they talked about some generations ago, who was so satisfied with himself that someone said about that preacher that he could strut sitting down. That's something. Now you think about that for a while. He was proud. He was proud of his position. He was proud of his education. He was proud of all the things he was doing. And someone referred to him as a guy who could strut sitting down. So, think upon the Lord. Get a clear view of your own selfishness. Get a clear view of the fact that you only have a few years left on the earth at the longest. Get a clear view of the type of conversation that you and I should have. Get a clear view of what kind of interest we should have in the few years that we have left on the earth. Acknowledge God's worth everything and above everything. Let's stop for a moment and look at this word, enopion. Well, here's what I can see. It's made up of two words. For instance, the first part of it is a little preposition in. The next part of it is the Greek word from which we get ophthalmologist, see. And so it means to perceive in with the eyes. It means to look at, implying not only the mere act of seeing, but actual perception of what one sees. Not only do we see, but the actual event of perception of what we see. It means literally in sight, in front of, in the presence of, being in sight, before the face, and thus the idea of face to face. You've heard me teach through the years that there's a Greek word preposition pros. Remember it? It means face to face. The idea here is of us being face to face with someone who really cares. Being face to face with someone who really knows us. Being face to face with someone who has the ability to direct us if we want to be directed. You see all those things? In our context of James 4:10, it is saying the humble person lives, as it were, in the eye of God. Wow. The humble person lives, so to speak, in the eye of God. Have you ever taken a little baby and looked into his or her eyes and brought that little baby just so close and you just looked into the little eyeballs of those little precious eyes? Think about it. In the presence of the Lord, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, you see how sweet and beautiful and wonderful it is in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. If we could go away from here today with a change of heart and a change of mind about our relationship to our Lord, it would be different. It could be the difference in the rest of our lives. However long the Lord lets us live, it could be a difference in our lives if we would understand the meaning of this word. Humble yourselves. You can't do it alone. There's no way that you and I can do it. We're not called upon to do it because it's a passive voice in that verb. It's the first one. Be the recipient of humility. Allow God to humble you in the presence of the Lord. A sense of our own utter unworthiness in God's holy presence can do nothing for us but to bring humility. Do you see what I'm saying? A sense of our own unworthiness. A sense of who we really are in the light of who God is. In God's presence can only induce humility. What thou art in the sight of God, that thou truly art, someone said. What you and I are in the sight of God is what we truly are. Enopion can be summarized in three ways. I'll give you these quickly. One, it means in front of, in the presence of, face to face. There are many verses of Scripture that use this word, enopion, in front of, before. Luke 1:19, Acts 10:30, Revelation 3:8, and Revelation 7:15. Oh, we probably ought to take the time to look up these verses. They're precious and wonderful. I repeat, Luke 1:19, Acts 10:30, Revelation 3:8, Revelation 7:15. Enopion can be translated in front of. When you want to deal with a child, you don't want that child facing another direction. You want that child facing you, right? Turn around, please. Have you ever said that to a child? Turn around, please. Maybe you didn't even say please. Turn around. Look me in the eyes. Look me in the face. Enopion. From here on out, you can tell your children, Enopion. And they won't know what you're talking about, so you can explain. Beautiful Greek word. Face to face. In front of. Eyeball to eyeball. The second way that it can be used is in the sight of. Not only in front of, but in the sight of. Luke 23:14. John chapter 20, verse 30. Many verses where that word is used that means in the sight of. But oh, don't forget this third one. It also can mean in the opinion of. That's different, isn't it? In the opinion of. Or it could be translated in the judgment of. As I said at the beginning of the first service, Weiss writes some things about enopion in the translation. He says enopion was used of one who does or says something in the presence of someone else and does it with the consciousness that that one has him in sight and has him in mind. Child, look at me. I want you to see me. I want you to understand what I'm telling you. I want you to understand I'm expressing to you an opinion, a thought. And it's very, very important that you have this now and that you use it throughout your life. Paul delivered the solemn charge to Timothy, conscious of the fact that he was going to do something in the sight of God. And he wished Timothy to ever so regard what he was saying. You don't have to know this, But the word enopion in the translation from the Hebrew to the Greek in the Old Testament is used at least 400 times. Well, look at the verse. Be the recipient of humility and be sure that you understand that it's before the presence of the Lord. Are you trying to be humble, pretense before other individuals? What really matters is the attitude that you and I have in the presence of the Lord. Quick words. We have, for instance, enopion, which translates before, and then kurion, which is the word for Lord. We don't have a lot of extra words here. Be the recipient of humility before the Lord. Over and out. And He will exalt you. And that's where we'll be on Wednesday night. He will exalt you. If you're going to be exalted or praised, from whom do you want to be praised? Where's the best praise we could ever have? It's from the Lord, isn't it? Think about it. This is a simple verse, and yet it's one of the profound verses of the book of James. How great God is, and how we need to see that we constantly, daily, are in His eye, in His presence, before Him. The decisions we make, the places we go, the things we do, it needs to be done in the light of acknowledging His presence, acknowledging His will, His plan. And like that guy said at the beginning of the first service, God would probably laugh when we talk about our plans, but God will have a belly laugh when we tell Him how much we know. And we need to know more than we know right now. And that's why we're here. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank You for the challenge of being in Your presence. Help us to realize how great it is to know that You know all about us. You know far more about us than we know about ourselves. And that You have a purpose and a plan for our existence. And since we're still alive, You have a reason for us still being here. Help us to know that we can have a day-by-day, moment-by-moment relationship. And that You will direct our footsteps. You will direct us if we'll just be open and willing to do Your plan, Your purpose, Your will. And for those who hear this message who've never accepted You as Savior, may they realize today that of all the decisions they would ever make in life, this is the most important one. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Him as Savior. We know that the Scripture says, Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me. That tells us that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that there will be those who will trust You. We pray and thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Like a flower which revels in the sun and falls. But the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. All flesh is like the grass. The grass withers and fades away. All flesh is like the grass. The grass withers and fades away. Like a flower that shrivels in the sun and falls. The glory of man, like a flower that shrivels in the sun and falls. But the word